Thank you, Harley, for sharing that and for doing that this morning. As you were talking earlier, you talked about laboring with God, and that's what I've titled the message with to talk about this morning. James and I were sort of on the same page, partly at least, in talking about labor, and tomorrow being Labor Day, I thought that's sort of unique too in the fact that we celebrate labor, a work day, and we take a vacation. It's a vacation day. I hadn't refreshed my memory on the history of it, so I'm glad that what James brought out and where it came from and why it started. I guess he didn't go into a lot of that detail, and I'm not going to either. But as I think about laboring, we as Christians, life is labor, as James read it out of Ecclesiastes. That was Solomon's idea, was life was laborious, and it's work. And as Christians, we find that as well. To be a Christian is work. It's not something that you just remain a Christian and coast along and everything's do what you want to do and so on, but it takes a work. I have to be I have to labor to continue my relationship with God. And if I don't, it becomes lax. If I neglect reading God's word, my relationship with God, it affects that greatly, in that at the time when I need to find a little screw that God, I don't think about asking God to help me. And I've done that many times myself. It's like, and then I think about, well, how can I find this? This is about as hopeless to try to find what I'm looking for as for me to walk on the moon. But then I thought, well, I'll pray. You know, as a last resort, we'll pray. Sort of the way we do. And amazing. It's amazing how often that has happened, the very thing you shared, Mike. And I found what I was looking for. So, we labor together. You know, we talk about work, and sometimes we get tired of working, and we wonder, if we just didn't have to work. And especially, I think of children, young people growing up, thinking of my own life, and I hear it in other children as well. Do I have to, when you're asked to do something, do I really have to do that? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it now. And so you're as a child, you generally don't have much recourse but to do it, grudgingly or otherwise. And so you go ahead and do it, and even though you didn't feel like doing it. Sometimes as grown-ups, I'm pretty sure we're all pretty much alike. There are days you really don't feel like going to work, or there's days you just don't feel like working. And you don't have to be old to experience that. I'm sure you younger ones have those days as well. And then you have those days when, at the end of the day, you wonder why you did go to work. Really wasn't much accomplished. But it is a little blessing. At my age, I find it that, you know, the other day I was busy all day, but I didn't really do much. And I thought, you know what, that's pretty nice. I sort of like that. I didn't really feel guilty either. And so I'm looking forward to more of those days. But the Bible talks about work, talks a lot about work, actually, and laboring. And has been mentioned already this morning, our society is geared toward play and recreation. You know, we work all week planning what we're going to do on a weekend. That's a big thing. I remember when I was working more as an employee with other fellow workers, and that was the gist of the thing. We finally get to Wednesday, and they called it the hump day, And now it's on downhill till Friday, till Saturday. We're going to be off. We're going to have big plans. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, and so on. Not necessarily wrong. You know, I do that too. We all do that. We look forward to a day off and what we're going to do. That's okay. And the Bible tells us we need to go and be refreshed. And we need to, sometimes we need to just stop. And other times we need to go away. Because if we don't go away, we won't stop and really rest. So go away. It's okay. There are people out camping today, this weekend, and that's okay. They need to get refreshed. And to again get invigorated so that you come back and you can work. Do the things that God wants us to do. It doesn't mean that you have to put God on a shelf and go away, but you take God with him, with you, and you can have a good time. Let's skip over some things here I had written. Physical labor is good. You know, we live in a time, and seems to be a group of people in our society and within our government and even within, society itself. They're promoting this thing of having everyone have whatever they need without working for it. It's handed to them. And we know that that isn't good. When children are given everything that they want and they don't have to work for it, they don't have to earn it, it doesn't mean much to them. And we know and we can see what our society is like because of what that has happened. And so we know, and God knew that from the very beginning. And yet he put Adam and Eve in a garden and he told them to keep the garden. But it was probably air conditioned and it was just right. And there was just enough moisture from the dew for everything to grow. And I don't know what they had to do. I don't know if they had to trim anything. They didn't have weeds, thorns, or thistles. But so I don't know what they had to do. But at least they could walk through and enjoy the garden. But they messed up. So because you have to go to work, you can thank Adam and Eve. You know, they get blamed for everything else. Why not blame them for that as well? And it's true, because God told them when they sinned, he drove them out of the garden and he said, okay, now by the sweat of your brow, the ground's going to grow thistles and thorns and weeds. He didn't say all that, but it does. And by the sweat of your brow, you're going to earn your food. You're going to eat. And so that's what we do today. If you go out and do anything and today looks to be just like yesterday. If you do anything, you're going to sweat. And so that's where we find ourselves. The ground was cursed because of sin. So you could say work is a curse. Well, in a way. Some people would look at it that way, but it's not really. Through all this, God had a plan, and he worked out for our benefit as well. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, it says, and I probably should return to that. I have a number of scriptures that I want to read that refer to working. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and it says, yes, if I get to the right place. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Paul, and on different occasions, he clarified that he didn't sponge off of people when he was around visiting and ministering. But it says that he worked with his own hand. He provided for himself. When people gave, I believe he accepted it. But he wasn't going to depend on other people for his needs. And so it says to work with your own hands. It admonishes us to do that. 2 Thessalonians 3, 7, 7 through 13. It says, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, and we that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if you would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are," let me see here. Okay, I think I'll stop right there. Monday evening, after some of us were playing ball, and the ladies were in doing cookies, baking cookies, putting them in bags and so on. And the boys came in and helped. We're putting cookies in the bags, and I came up to one of my grandsons and wanted a cookie. And he said, he quoted this verse, "If you want to eat, you have to work." Or the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And needless to say, I didn't get a cookie. But that's very good. That's good advice. That is what the Bible does tell us. And God would honor that as we obey him in that as well. Ephesians 4:28. It's another reason that we should work. "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Okay, maybe you say it doesn't pertain to you, you don't steal. But I think it pertains to all of us anyway. Is so that we work with our hands so that we have to give, and not just that, but we have for ourselves so we don't have to go out and steal. I believe it was David that said that just that God would keep him just poor enough, in my own words, so that he wouldn't go out, that he wouldn't forget God, but that he would have enough so he wouldn't go steal and to bring a reproach on God. So there's a benefit in that, in working and in giving. And I want to commend you. This church has always been a generous church and still is. And our numbers are less, and so the numbers are down. But at the same time, I guess we just need to chip in, and we need to give more so that the needs are supplied. But I commend you for that, because I think you're doing well, and I would encourage us to keep up on that as well. And Jesus also in John 6:27, he tells us, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." So, we do a lot of laboring. There are different reasons that we labor, that we work. Some, and mostly it's so that we have money to pay our bills and to keep our houses and to have transportation and have food and clothing and so on. But beyond that, it's to work to help out and to give into God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is suffering today because people aren't giving in general. There is plenty of money, even within the Christian community, that there would not have to be anyone that would go hungry in the world. I believe that. If people would give as God would have them to. But there again, it's a subject and it's a principle that I have to endorse and I have to want to do on my own. I have to see the need myself to give, or it won't bring the benefit, or I just won't give as I should. Unless I really see the need that's out there, I continually get information from World Missionary Press. And the cry around the world, especially right now in India, there are many, many people that are distributing God's word in booklets, and they are crying for more and more, and they can't print enough. They can't afford, as the money comes in, they print more scripture booklets to give out. I'm sure it's the same thing with Bibles. So the need is great. It's out there. But and the cry is that we would follow what God would have us to do. Then I want to go to our text, 1 Corinthians 15:58. You probably wondered if I had a text or if I would ever get to it. But I did this on purpose. I wanted to talk about, a lot of these things I talked about is physical labor and working with our hands to provide. And God honors all that, as I said. But now I want to look at laboring together with God. I'm going to start reading in verse 56. Actually, 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You probably wondered why I backed up, and it's sort of a what they use at a funeral, talking about death and the grave and so on. But as I think, as we to understand verse 58 is, which is really the text, we have to back up and to see why he is saying what he's saying there. And he's talking about, O death, where is thy sting? And you have to go back and research. If you look and read through the book of Romans, you will get a lot of these answers that we have about what Paul's talking about, death and the sting of death and sin and the law and so on. And Paul goes into great detail in Romans 5 talking about the sting of death is sin. It was sin that brought humanity under death's power. In Romans 5, 12 to 21, he talks about that and how he was sorting through that in his own life. And then the strength of sin is the law, or the NIV says the power of sin is the law. The law of God gives sin its power, for it reveals our sin and condemns us because of our sin. Romans 7 and 7 through 12 talks about, again, Paul relating to that subject as well. I'm not going to turn to that, but you can read that, and I would encourage you to do that. It seems like Paul is struggling in with sin as a Christian and between a Christian and an unbeliever in that life, but I don't really think he's there. He's sorting out and he's bringing and clarifying really what the law did. And he said the law was a schoolmaster. If there hadn't been a law, he wouldn't have known sin. He wouldn't have had to worry about sin. He didn't know what covetous was until the law said, don't covet. Well, then he understood. And so he found himself in that where we find ourselves in the flesh. We're fighting against that. It says, don't do this, but I want to do this. Part of me wants to do this. The other part says, no, don't do that. That's not right. That displeases God. God has delivered us from that. So I'm getting off a little bit, but I think it's important to see what he's trying to say leading up to the encouragement he gives us in 57 and 58. The strength of sin is the law. The law of God gives sin its power, for it reveals our sin and condemns us because of our sin. So all this that I'm talking about, whether it's work or whatever, it all stems back to the thing of sin. It's where it comes from. And so we have to learn how to deal with that and what we have to do. And God has provided through Jesus Christ the way out. And that's where in verse 57, he says, but thanks be to God. No, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. There should be some enthusiasm in that. It's a victory cry that you and I as believers have, that we aren't death and the grave and sin no longer has power over us. because of Jesus Christ's resurrection. Victory over the condemnation for sin that the law brought. And then verse 56, it's over death in the grave. And verse 54 and 55, it talks about through the death and the resurrection of Christ that we are delivered, that we have this victory. In Romans 4, 25, again, Paul talks about that there. But going now into verse 58, therefore, and so because of therefore, we had to go back and look at what he's talking about, what was leading up to this. He says, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's one thing that Paul has stressed in many of his writings to the different people he wrote to, was to be steadfast. He was trying to encourage them and encourage us today. Don't give up. You know, in the work, it gets hard. Sometimes it gets discouraging. Sometimes you feel like, what's the use? He says, hang in there. Don't give up. The victory's been won. Don't quit now. Steadfast simply means immovable, firm, fixed, constant, unyielding. What can you think of? A natural thing that is that would these would describe. Something that's immovable, it's firm, it's fixed. It's planted, it's there. Well, that's how God wants you and I to be. In our conquest, in our, that's probably not the right word, in our relationship with God, with Him, in our determination and of the Christian life, of living the Christian life, and fighting against sin is really what he's saying here. And experience that victory. The victory is there, but we need to experience it. That falls into our lap. You know, Christ did. He died. He rose again. He gave his life. He shed his blood. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He did all that for us. But unless we accept it, unless I accept it, and I claim that victory that he had over death, hell, and a grave, it doesn't do me any good. And so Paul is encouraging the people here. He calls them my beloved brethren. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm going to read out of the Amplified that verse. I like some of the things that the way they word that. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile, it is never wasted or to no purpose. It's good to be reminded of that sometimes, because sometimes you feel like, or I have, what's the purpose? What's the benefit? What is it really accomplishing? What is what I am doing accomplishing? God's word will accomplish what he has planned for it to do. We know that serving him is not empty, useless activity. Your labor in vain in the Lord is not in vain. All our efforts in service to Christ are invested in his winning cause. He will also reward us at his second coming in Revelations 22:12. I'm going to read that. It says, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. I give every man according as his work shall be. That's encouraging. You know, the things you do, maybe man doesn't see it. Maybe man doesn't notice it. Maybe man will forget what you do. Obviously, they will. But there is one that is keeping track, that is keeping record, and that's God. And he won't forget. And it says that when he comes, he's going to bring those rewards with us. I don't know how all that's going to work out, but I'm not really worried about it either. I'd like to read in closing 1 Corinthians 3, 8 through 9. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So, yes. You know, as was mentioned this morning, as Harley mentioned, I believe it was, about laboring with God or with other people versus doing it all on your own. Yesterday I had help at the house, and I thought about it. Trying to do what we did yesterday took five of us to do. I thought about just, I think I could do it. I think I can just try it. And looking back, I'm like, boy, that was dumb thinking. Probably I wouldn't have had anything left that I would have needed a pillar for. It probably would have been gone. So, yeah, working together as a body, as a group, as a church, doing things together, it makes the work lighter for everyone. And it makes it enjoyable to be with others as you work. How much more with God? You know, really, what could we accomplish without God and what we're doing here? It wouldn't be worth our time to get up to come if God wasn't here. But God is interested. God wants to help us. God is right here. He's in every one of us. And he's the one that gives us the zeal, the drive, the ability to do what we do for his glory and for his honor. Remember, there is work that I can do that will benefit only me, but the reward's going to be from the work that I do that will benefit you or someone else. That's what I want when God comes and gives rewards. That which I did for others will be, he will bless us with. All right, do we have a closing song?
In the hymnary, 552.
Okay, 552 in the hymnary. When you find that, you can stand. Let's pray. Father, again, we are grateful this morning for your love and for your goodness and for your faithfulness to us as your people. We thank you, God, for all the labor that you have invested in humanity, in the way that you have not given up, but you have always made a way and provided for your people to serve you and to you've blessed us so abundantly with the things that the essentials of life, for food and for clothing and for shelter, and you give us health as well. We are grateful to you, God. And most of all, we're grateful for the salvation, for the forgiveness of sin, for the victory that Jesus had over death, hell, and the grave, and that we can experience as well. And so I pray that you would help us as we labor each day to know that that which we do for you is not in vain, but that you will reward us according to what we do and according to the what Jesus has done for us. Thank you, Father, again, for your protection and for your blessing. I pray a blessing on each person here this morning, and as we separate and go to our homes, God, we pray your presence to go with us and to keep us. Those that are not here and may be traveling, for protection for them. May you receive glory, honor, and praise for everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.